Hi, I'm Jay from JinxNavigator.com, and this is my podcast. We're making our way through all of the issues of The Jinx. That's a newsletter for magicians and mentalists that lasted from 1934 to 1941. And a ton of what we still do as mystery performers can be traced back to something from that periodical. This is the podcast where we browse through every issue and find out how many of those ideas are still usable. We're looking at issue number 5 today, which contains The Red and Blue Back Color Change by Theodore Animan, With Sight Unseen by Ellie Duncanson, The Solution of Something to Work On by Charles Nyquist, The Lie Detective by Stuart Robson, A Question and the Answer by Theodore Animan, A Neat Publicity Trick by Nat Scherzer, and The Editorial by Animan. Our first article of this issue is from Theodore Animan, and he calls it the Red and Blue Back Color Change. I give him an F for creative naming, but an A+ for the actual effect. You're holding a deck of cards face up. Grab the top two face-up cards from the deck and casually show them both sides, pointing out that one has a red back and the other is blue. Put them back on the deck, and then you slowly turn over the first card, showing the back, and then dropping it onto the floor face up. Quick sidebar. As I've read through The Jinx, I've discovered that they must not have had many tables available 90 years ago, because they are always putting cards on the floor. It's simply weird. Back to the trick. You do the same with the second card, showing the opposite colored back and dropping it a few feet away face up. The audience gets to guess which card has which back, and you let anyone turn them over. Even though the backs are swapped, the faces remain the same. So for the method, no fake cards are needed for this. Use your own deck with only two extra cards from the opposite colored deck. They can be any cards. You do need to be able to do a triple lift, but if that's up your alley, this could be a cool effect for you. What's neat is that when you turn over the first card to show the back, your audience sees the second card underneath it, so everything looks really above board. Animan mentions that he sometimes had people forget which color card went down first, so he says to impress upon the person which card is which color when you drop them on the floor, or the table, whichever suits your performing style. With Sight Unseen by L.E. Duncanson is the next effect in issue number 5 of The Jinx. This is one where I really have a hard time believing it's workable, but the author claims it's a veritable stunner when presented correctly. Okay, you're standing before your audience. You ask someone to come up and tie your hands behind your back with their handkerchief. Right, so we already know this is an old effect. So you might want to have a handkerchief or some rope or something. Handcuffs. Handcuffs would be cool with this. After this, they blindfold you with another handkerchief. Now you're handed things behind your back. Hands are behind your back. You're blindfolded. They start handing you things and you're able to tell what they are. For example, someone chooses any playing card, puts it in your bound hands behind your back, and you're able to tell the value and the suit. They hand you a watch, and you are able to tell what time it's been set to. You're given a silk scarf behind your back, and you can tell what color it is. Finally, someone writes some numbers and letters on a slate, hands it to you behind your back, and you are able to tell what is written there. So why don't I believe it could be done? Because it's too good. I'm not going to discuss the actual method here. I want you to go look at it yourself. Go to JinxNavigator.com, make a free account, and then look at issue number 5 for With Sight Unseen. There is a gimmick that needs to be made, but a trip to Michael's, Hobby Lobby, or the like will give you everything you need for a few bucks. Now, this could work. I did a trial run with stuff I had here at the house, and parts of it are definitely possible. But to do all of the effects that he lists, I don't quite buy it. I will say that if you aren't as thick as I am, it might work better, but I still have my doubts about anybody being able to do it all. Let me know how it works out for you. Now The Solution for Something to Work On. From the previous issue, Vincent Dalban proposed an effect, and Animan asked people to come up with a method, and this one is from Charles Nyquist. So the effect, if you remember, is from a shuffled deck, someone deals cards to the table one at a time, face up, and calling out each card as it lands. Your back is turned, and at some point, the person dealing cards will lie and say a different name than what they just dealt. And you will be able to call them on that lie every time. The version Nyquist gives us uses a stacked deck, but you also allow the audience member to shuffle the deck before starting. You'll need a crib showing the order of the cards because when a card is named, it will either be the next card in the stack or one about 26 cards away. When one comes along that doesn't follow that pattern, you know a lie was just told. So this relies on your helper being able to do a very clean dovetail shuffle so that the cards fall in the right spot. So I'll say what I said last time. I think a deck switch after shuffling would be a much better method for this. But you can check it all out at jinxnavigator.com and see what you think about this original method. And now we have the lie detective from Stuart Robson, which is another method to create the effect from Vincent Dalban. The effect is the same, although in this one, the helper will have the deck behind their back and will deal one at a time from there. You also need to have the lie told within the first 10 cards, but that's not a horrible limitation. The method is interesting. I don't think I'd do this exact effect, but I think the method is something, the method here that Stuart Robson put together is something that I might find a use for. I had my brain whirling when I saw this method. Take a look at the lie detective in issue number 5 and see if it piques your interest. Animan is back with an effect called A Question and the Answer and says he uses it all the time. You hand a piece of paper to someone, ask them to write down a question they'd like answered. They do so, they fold the slip, which is then initialed by someone else and held in full view. At a distance away, you take another piece of paper and you write something on it, crumple it up, and hand it to another helper to hold. Go to the first person holding the folded slip, open it, and read the question aloud. The person holding the other paper now stands up and reads what it says aloud, and it is the answer to the question. To do this, you need some papers about 2 by 3 inches, a couple pencils, and a thumb tip. Yes, one of those. I think I made fun of a method recently that used a thumb tip, but this feels different. This method requires a switch, but it is done with the gimmick, which makes it so much easier than using just a straight slide. If you carry a thumb tip as part of your EDC, this might be the kind of thing that would be a good impromptu piece of mind reading. Last effect in this issue is called A Neat Publicity Trick by Nat Scherzer. It's not actually a specific effect, but more of an idea to dress up an effect. Instead of always pulling out playing cards, Scherzer is suggesting a packet of envelopes. Not the kind of envelopes that, the coin envelopes that we mentalists love, but actual snail mail letter envelopes that have been used, sent to different people around the country, and all opened carefully on one end so that they're all pretty much uniform. Now you have 7 or 8 envelopes in a stack that could be used in different ways. Pull them out, toss them down to be looked at. Now write something down on a piece of paper, fold it, and let someone hold it. Gather the envelopes, fan them out, have one selected. They read the address on the front, and you've predicted it correctly. And the method, of course, is to force the envelope just the way you might force a card. So you could just do that with playing cards, of course, but Scherzer makes the argument that the use of envelopes in this case makes it a new and novel mystery to be remembered, and I agree with that. Plus, I think there are some really cool things you could do with a small stack of envelopes like this. It might be something worth brainstorming over. This issue ends with Animan's editorial. He talks about letters he's received, including one with a tip when performing cigarette perception from issue number 4, which is worth looking up. It makes a lot of sense for that. In his news of the month, he talks about Peggy Gwynn getting married and what that might do to the Gwynn Family Magic Act, which was known as the Royal Family of Magic. Animan talks about Burling Hall's new effect called Nudist Coin Vanish and has a little fun with that. He ends his editorial with this quote, "Any profession or trade loses its income-earning value as soon as people become familiar with its secrets." What he found interesting is that quote wasn't about magic, but it came from a report published by the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. He says if a group of engineers know this, why can't magicians recognize it as fact? That's it for this episode of the Jinx Navigator podcast. To see every article in every issue of the Jinx, go to jinxnavigator.com and sign up completely free. Use the contact form on that site. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the site, good or bad. I'm Jay Jennings from JinxNavigator.com, and I hope you join me again next time when we explore issue number 6, which includes the astral shirt. This is something that I've only seen described in the past as a comedy gag, but Animan plays it differently. And I thank you in advance for helping me spread the word about this, the Jinx Navigator podcast. And special thanks to David and Ferry for buying me coffees. That was a great surprise. Cheers to you, and see you next week.